Have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke. It is good to be here with you this morning. Always a tremendous blessing to stand behind this pulpit and preach. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter number 24. Verse number 13. I'm just going to read a few verses this morning, but then I'll expound on deeper into the scripture. Delray may be giggling over there. Preach one verse and preach the whole Bible doing it. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've allowed us to come together. Lord, as the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us this morning, Lord, as we look to that day when your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was resurrected. Lord, I pray that you would just search our hearts this morning. Lord, we are a church, we are a people, Lord, that is faced day in and day out with discouragement and despair. And Lord, we need to hear word from you. We need to hear encouragement from you. But Lord, we also need to hear conviction. Lord, for each and every one of us, there are ways in our lives in which we fail you, which we have fallen short. Lord, I pray now that you would reveal those places, those areas within our heart, within our soul, Lord, that we might know exactly where we stand before you. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me this morning. Lord, use me as a vessel, Lord, to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. Help me to preach the truth. Help me to preach the Word this morning, for it's the Word that we need. It is the Word that will bring that conviction. It is the Word that will bring that encouragement. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake and always for his glory, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As we look to this story, this account of these disciples, two of them walking on the road to Emmaus, some 5 miles from Jerusalem, many, many events had occurred over the course of the last few hours that they had witnessed. These men, over the course of the last several months and several years, had come to know a man by the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. These men had come to put their faith and their trust in him. They had seen the works that he had performed. They had seen him made the blinded eyes to see. They had seen him make the lame to walk. They had even seen him raise the dead. And they knew, based upon his works, based upon his profession, that he is and that he was the Son of God. He was that promised Messiah going all the way back to the days of Genesis 3, going all the way back to the days of Abraham. This was the man who was to be king. This was the man who was to redeem them from their slavery and from their bondage that they had suffered for hundreds and hundreds of years. But over the course of the last several hours, tragedy had struck. Over the course of the last several hours, this man who they saw to be the Messiah, this man who they saw to be the King of Kings, had been arrested. He had been betrayed by one of their own. He had been brought before Pilate. He had been brought before Herod. And he had been sentenced to death by crucifixion. And they had seen it. They had seen him hung upon a cross. They had seen him beaten. They had seen a crown placed upon his head, and they had seen him die upon that cross. At that point, everything they had believed, everything they had trusted, everything they had hoped in had seemingly been taken away. And they at this time were men of no hope. They were men of tragedy. They were men desperately in need. And they walked along this road living in a life of despair, living in a life of no hope, living in a life of depression, living in a life of discouragement. And as they walked along, they discussed the events of the last few days, and they had discussed the events of the last few hours. And then we find, as they walked together, all of these things, discussing all these things which had happened, and it came to pass in verse 15, that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. As they walked in their time of despair, as they walked in their time of discouragement and depression, as they walked along with no hope, the Word itself drew near. The Word itself. Oh, Christ sees them walking along that path, sees them walking along that road, sees their discouragement, sees their despair, sees their depression, knows the hope that is lacking within them, and then out of His love steps forth and walks alongside. At no reason, at no point was Christ obligated to walk alongside these men and draw near unto them. But yet it was simply out of His love, out of His grace, that as He sees them walk by in their discouragement, He steps out and walks along with them. But these men, they didn't know who He was. Suddenly there's just another man walking amongst them, a man walking in their midst. And the Word says unto them, He says, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? What's the problem? The Word says. What's going on? What's the issue? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so sad? Why are you so upset? The Word says to them. And they look at Him and they say, are you a stranger? Where have you been? Cleopas, one of the two, answered and said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Where have you been over the course of the last 12 hours, 24 hours, 7 days? Where have you been over the course of the last 3 years? Have you not seen this Jesus? Have you not heard His Word? Have you not seen His works? And have you not seen and heard how He was betrayed and crucified and is now dead? Where have you been? They see the Word walking amongst them, walking alongside of them out of His grace, out of His love. And they see it as a stranger. They see Him as someone who is ignorant and irrelevant. Is that not where we find ourselves today? We, as the body of Christ, living in a life of discouragement, living in a life of depression, living in a life of trial and tribulation, in which there seemingly is no hope, and yet the Word walks and lives and dwells within us. And yet we look at it as if it is a strange thing. And we look at it as if it is ignorant and irrelevant. We ignore the Word of God. We leave it to the side. We never take the time to read and study and be encouraged thereby. We avoid coming to the family of God and dwelling and living amongst believers where the Word is encouraged, where the Word is shared, where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is proclaimed, because we see it as irrelevant. We see it as something old. We see it as something that is outdated. But yet it is the Word of God that has brought salvation unto our life. It is the Word of God that sustains us day in and day out. But we see it as a stranger. And oh, how it has become a stranger within churches today. We preach science and we preach books and we preach music and we preach tradition and we preach all the modern amenities that the church can create. But yet we do not preach the everlasting, immutable Word of God, because it is the Word of God that saves us, sustains us, and will bring us into glory. These men walking along, the Word walking amongst them, it simply asks them, why are you so sad? You know what the Word wants? It simply wants them to confess. What's wrong? Why are you so upset? Why are you so discouraged? It simply wants to know what's wrong. And they say, are you a stranger? Or do you not know what's going on? And he said unto them, what things? Even though we see the Word as irrelevant, even though we take that Word of God that sits in your lap this morning and set it aside, put it in the back seat of the car and leave it there till next Sunday. We take that Word of God and we set it on the coffee table and never look at it again. We come to the house of God and listen to the preaching of the Word of God twice a year, Easter and Christmas, funerals and weddings. Other than that, we avoid it because it's a strange thing. And ignorant and irrelevant. But yet over and over, even though we reject it, even though we ignore it, it continues to pursue. Oh, God could have at that point walked away. The Lord Jesus Christ, after hearing their discussion and their refusal of Him and seeing Him as a stranger, seeing Him as irrelevant, could have turned and walked away and let them walk alone in their discouragement and hope. But He continued to pursue, looking for what? A confession. I just simply want to know what's wrong. Tell me what's going on. And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, verse 19, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered them to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And they go on. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but they saw Him not. He pursued them for a confession. And finally, a confession is what he got. They poured out their heart to this stranger, letting them know everything, number one, what they had experienced and seen for themselves. They took Him, they betrayed Him, they arrested Him, they crucified Him, and all our hope is gone. They testified to what they had seen. Then they testified to what someone else has seen. But then there's these women that have gone to the tomb and they say it's empty. They say He's gone. They even say He's alive. So now you see the reason for their distress. One thing, they're having to match up what they've seen with the testimony of what someone else has seen. You see, we have a walk our own, Brother Tim. Discouragement. And we know what we've seen. We know what's going on in our life. We know how trying our world and our path and our journey is. And seemingly as we walk, there is no hope. There's only discouragement. There's only pain. But yet, the person in the pew next to us has their hands up all the time. Always a shouting, always running the aisle, in the church every time the doors are open, studying and reading the Word of God, standing and testifying all the time of a resurrected Savior that has delivered them. But yet we walk our path of discouragement and despair. And we have trouble matching one with the other. Is our story the truth? Or is this testimony the truth? Anytime I have conflicting stories, when I'm working with my children, and one says one thing and one says the other, I like to get to the source of the truth. I like to go to the foundation of the truth. I like to find out that unchangeable truth so I can find out exactly which testimony is true. Is he dead? Or is he alive? Is there no hope? Or is there hope? So now that he's confessed to the Word what the problem is, the Word, that unchangeable truth, that foundation, that source of truth, speaks back. Then Christ said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, the writings of Moses. Well, Brother Chris, what did Moses write? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all those first five books. Going all the way back to where? The beginning. Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning what? Himself. The Word begins to expound the Word. The Word goes all the way back to Genesis and speaks of Genesis 3 and the Garden of Eden, moves his way forward to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, then moves on through David and Solomon and all the prophets and Isaiah, making the proclamation that one day a son will be given, one day that Redeemer will come. He speaks completely of himself, expounding the Word of God. When the Word pursues us and we turn in confession, the Word then speaks back the truth. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. They were going to the mess. They had arrived at where they wanted to be. They had heard this man, this stranger, talk and expound the scriptures to them. And then it came to the end of their road. And then this stranger, the Word of God, said, I'm going to keep on going. It is then that those disciples had a choice to make. They had confessed their position. The Word had spoke truth to them. Now they have a decision to make as to whether they'll let that Word just keep on going and go on by, or whether they will have faith in that Word and constrain it to stay amongst them. That is the decision that each and every one of us have to make. We confess our sins unto Him. We confess our condition unto Him. And then the Word speaks back to us and makes the promise of the Redeemer that your sins have been covered by the blood. And then we have the choice as to whether we're going to let that Word keep on going and leave our life, or whether we will believe and constrain it unto us. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like Genesis 3. Man, lost in sin, having believed unto Satan,
and surrendered his sovereignty, surrendered his life unto Satan. Now, living in a life of sin, living in a life abandoned, but yet the Word of God, seeing him out of his love, though he deserved to die, pursued him and says, Adam, where are you? Tell me what happened. Oh, no, he's a stranger, is he not? Why? Because Adam runs. There's a strange voice. I'm going to go the other way. I don't want to hear it. But he continues to pursue. He pursues Adam. Finds Adam. And then Adam is cornered because he knows that God knows. And then God begins to give his promise. The Word begins to preach the Word and tells, here's what's going to happen. One day there shall be a Redeemer, and he shall step on the head of Satan, and his heel shall be bruised, but his head shall be crushed. There shall be a Redeemer. The truth is preached. The truth is proclaimed. Your life will not be perfect. Your life will have tragedy. Your life will have trial. But yet, in the end, though your body shall go to dust, you shall live if you believe. And just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they had a decision to make. Adam had a decision to make. I will continue to believe in the word that Satan has given me, or I will begin to believe in the word that has been proclaimed to me unto God. And he names his wife Eve, the mother of all living. He says, I'm still alive for a reason. I'm still alive for a purpose. He, for the first time, tastes and knows the love and the grace of God. And knowing the love of God, knowing the grace of God, believes upon him and names his wife Eve because he believes that promised Redeemer will come from her. He surrenders in faith unto God. Same way you have with these disciples. They constrained him. They had heard the word preached, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. When you abide in the Word of God, when you make that decision of faith and trust in him, it is then that the Word is broken unto you. It is then that we find that their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. It was then that they saw the resurrected Savior for the first time. And the same is true for you and I. He will pursue us with his love. We will reject, we will run, we will call him a stranger, we will call him irrelevant. He will continue to pursue. We confess our sins unto him. And then the word is expounded back unto us. And then we, in turn, believe in faith and abide in his word. And then Christ, the truth, is revealed unto us. But then notice what happens after that. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? All that hope that was lost 5 miles before is now a burning within them. There's a burning within them. All of that hope that was lost has now been resurrected. And they find that hope comes, that burn comes, with the reading of the scriptures. When the scriptures are expounded, their heart begins to burn. Everyone in this building is walking along an Emmaus road in some form or fashion. We are living a life of trial and tribulation, despair, depression, seemingly that there is no hope. But the word is pursuing me. confess. Confess your heart unto God. Confess where you stand before Him. Then the Word will come to you. You respond in faith to that Word, and then you see Christ anew. Once again, you taste grace. Once again, you know His love. And then there's a burn for you to go back to the Word. Every time you have that discouragement again, we go back to the Word. We listen to the preaching of the Word. We read the Word. We study the Word. And our hope is renewed. How many in here are struggling with that hope right now? You're living in a life of sin. You're living in a life of depression. You're living in a life of despair. Turn to the Scriptures. Let that Word burn within your heart. Because we serve a resurrected Savior. And there is hope in a world that seemingly has no hope. Let us pray. Lord, we love you.